Jim McGovern, last time we were speaking, you were talking about the evils of money in politics. I've just actually written a column on that very, very subject. You get what you pay for. So there are ways out of this. But there are many Democrats as well as Republicans who remember how they got there under the existing system. And they don't want Bernie the bartender getting free money to run against them, do they?
Well, you know what? There's nothing wrong with Bernie the bartender running for Congress if Bernie wants to run for Congress. I mean, when I first ran for Congress, people thought it was a joke. I had never served in elected office before. And I kind of came out of nowhere and just ran. And lightning struck and I won. But here's the deal. One of the things that frustrated me when I ran for Congress were the columns that I would read saying, well, Jim McGovern is really not a serious candidate because his opponent has three times as much money in the bank as he does. And so I was being evaluated based on the money I had in my bank account versus, you know, my ideas. It wasn't, McGovern has a good idea or a bad idea on education or on, you know, or on, you know, the environment or on infrastructure. It was, you know, let's evaluate him based on the money that is coming into his campaign. I think that's the wrong way we should be doing politics in this country. And at a minimum, we ought to repeal Citizens United, and we ought to put in place a system, give Congress the ability to legislate a system that basically puts caps on how much is spent in these campaigns, because it's getting to be obscene. And, you know, I hate raising money, but I have to. You never know what's going to come at you, but it's unfortunately necessary to be able to pay for TV ads and radio ads and reach your voters and make your case. But we got to do this better, and now's the time for us to have that kind of holistic conversation on how we can clean up our politics.
Let's switch to immigration reform. Trump started by saying, you know, no Muslims. Now he seems to be straddling the line a little bit. Yes, maybe under some circumstances, but no, because he's being pulled to two sides. Where are we on this subject?
Well, if Donald Trump becomes president, I think we're nowhere. And quite frankly, I've got whiplash trying to follow his varying positions on immigration. I mean, this morning I heard he's still calling for a wall and saying that everybody has to leave and on and on and on. I mean, who knows what's going on in that brain of his? But look, we need comprehensive immigration reform in this country. We need a path for legalization for those people who have been here and who have been good citizens, many of them who have worked, who have had kids here. There have been bipartisan proposals that have kind of outlined a way to put a system together that would do that, including having people pay their back taxes or pay a fine for having initially broken the law, but giving them the right to stay here. Look, a lot of the people we're talking about, in fact, the vast majority of people, have contributed greatly to our economy. And they've contributed greatly to our communities. They've been valuable members of our community. We have young children, you know, who came here when they were 1 year old, who've gone through our school systems, who graduate top in their class. We've invested in these kids, and you know, I want to, you know, encourage smart people to stay in this country and to work in this country and to help make this country even better. So I do think that, if Hillary wins, we have a brief window of opportunity in the aftermath of the election to try to get immigration reform done. I know that there are some thoughtful Republicans who want to work on it as well. I hope that we can do it, but doing nothing is no longer an option. And these people who are here, they deserve to be treated better. They deserve to be able to have a way to have a normal life, and I think again it's in our benefit to do this, getting people to come forward to purchase health care, to pay taxes. You know, I mean, that benefits all of us. So the fact that we haven't done it, I think, is really a blemish on Congress's record.
So while I agree with you, I feel compelled to ask you the question, what about those people in, for example, organized labor or labor who think that these jobs held by immigrants are taking jobs away from them?
Well, they have a point to a certain extent where you have some unscrupulous like developers or people in the construction field who go out and purposely hire people who are undocumented to pay them cheaper wages and, you know, to try to low bid a project. And that is frustrating. But most of the people I've talked to in the labor movement favor comprehensive immigration reform to help, you know, to help be able to allow these people to come out from under the shadows and hopefully join a union. You know, I mean, those people deserve, you know, to be paid a fair wage for the work that they do, just as much as anybody else. And so getting immigration reform, I think, would actually empower these workers and basically undercut some of these unscrupulous developers and people in the construction industry who have exploited their labor.
Jim McGovern, there is some good news this week that the FARC and the Colombian government are making peace. Sure. We only have 3 minutes, but what do you make of that?
Well, look, this is something I've been working on for many, many years. You know, there's been a war going on there for over 50 years. A lot of people have died, and violence has been terrible, and people have been kidnapped. And, you know, and finally, you know, after all these years, the government and the FARC have agreed to a ceasefire and to a peace deal. And I think that that is good news for diplomacy. I think it's good news for U.S. diplomacy. The U.S. played a big role in helping to do this. The Cubans did, too. The Cubans hosted the negotiations for the last couple of years in Havana. And I think, you know, if this holds, and I expect that it will, that it's good news for the Colombian people. Look, peace is far preferable to war, and Colombia is an incredible country with wonderful people, but it has been held back by the violence and by the war. And if this finally ends, then I think it's you know, it's a bit of good news in a world that's unfortunately filled with a lot of chaos right now.
So did the FARC quit, you think, basically because they were losing?
Well, one could argue the FARC were never winning, you know, for decades, but they continued to fight. I think the significant thing here is that, you know, I think, you know, I think some leaders in the FARC, I think, came to the realization that if they didn't get peace now, they probably would never get peace, because you had people, you know, because this has been going on so long, you know, who were born and raised in the jungles of Colombia, you know, who never ever went to a movie, who never, you know, walked to a shopping center, who never, you know, had a normal life, and who, quite frankly, would probably not be in a position to be able to negotiate a peace, you know, in the future. And, you know, there's still some people in the FARC who do remember what it was like to have a normal life. And look, you know, the Colombian government, you know, has not been a perfect government. They've had a terrible human rights record over the years. They've exploited some of the poorest people in their country. And part of this peace deal is to deal with some of the past issues that, quite frankly, are legitimate. Unfortunately, the FARC, you know, became like a lot of the players in Colombia, beholden to selling drugs. And, you know, I think that was something that, you know, fueled their ability to be able to buy arms, but also kind of corrupted their any kind of moral standing that they had. But look, this is an important development, and it's an important victory for diplomacy. And I would like to think that diplomacy at some point could become contagious, where we don't look at everything in terms of how do we obliterate our adversary, but maybe how we negotiate deals that will allow people to live peacefully together and have a good future.
Jim McGovern, always a pleasure to have a conversation with you. And that's what these are. We just, you know, you'll start with something and you never know where it goes. But we thank you so much for doing it and for putting up with us. It's great to see
you. Happy
to
be with you, as always.